Week 132 of Brad is Branded Thoughts. We've got a special edition here with a former Iowa linebacker, Edmond Miles. He's with us this afternoon. It's been an interesting few months, Edmond. I'm sure you've been engulfed with the same that us as fans have been engulfed with, the accusations against the Iowa football program. First of all, before we get into some of the nitty-gritty of all this, can you catch our listeners up on what you're doing right now in your life? Of course, it's hard to believe it's been almost a decade. Well, it's been about a decade and a half since you've been at Iowa. Can you catch our listeners up on you and your family?
Yeah, I work currently and or reside in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Been there since about 2010. Married with three daughters. And I work for the Cedar Rapids School District. And then I coach for varsity football for Lenmar High School in Marion.
Yep. And so how long have you been coaching?
I've been coaching for about 5 years.
And what challenges has that brought this year in the year 2020?
Besides COVID, and then you have the derecho, it's kind of been a lot of obstacles. And me, at one point, you didn't even know we were going to have a season, you know. So the kids hung in there, and we have a game today tonight at Waukee. But yeah, it's been challenging, but I'm just happy that the kids were able to play games, you know, with all the hard work they did in the off seasons and stuff like that. And I'm happy for the seniors that they were able to get a couple of games in for their senior year. So,
absolutely. And I know scheduling has been a challenge for everybody. So, you know, but we've made it through the majority of things. And of course, college football has been going for a while. I did want to just talk to you about the recent lawsuit that was brought up by eight former players. And the reason I want to talk to you about this, and you spoke out on the situation and the accusations against Kirk Ferentz and the Iowa football staff, you seem to have a different perspective. Now, we, as a precursor to this, for anybody who hasn't listened to our past shows, we did have former Iowa players Amari Spavey on. We had Clinton Solomon on, which I believe you played with Solomon for a year or two. Is that right?
Yeah, we played. We came in together, actually.
Okay. So we wanted to have a broad perspective here, and we're trying to be fair with our kind of reaction and coverage to this. But you had an interesting write up on your personal Facebook account that sort of went viral, at least amongst Iowa fans. And that was largely in support of Kirk Ferentz. Now, this lawsuit that came about, or that is assuming to be coming about here soon, is from eight former players that are basically claiming that there were racial injustices at Iowa that caused them to miss out financially and caused them pain and suffering, both emotionally and mentally, and in even some cases physically. I don't want you to feel like you have to comment on anyone else's experience. And I know you acknowledge that in your own write-up as well. That's just something we can't do as individuals. But what was your experience at Iowa like? If you had to sum everything up, what was your experience at Iowa like?
My experience was good. I like any other sport, I take football as like the top sport. But, I mean, a lot of you can compare it to basketball or some of the other ones. But, like, for me, like, growing up, you coached hard in order to get things out. Like, get the full max of potential out of the individual. I wasn't never berated or anything like that or called outside my name. Might have been called some other things and stuff like that, but nothing like any like personal. And the way it works is at Iowa, your expectations, you have to meet those expectations that the coaches set out for you. All right. And a lot of that is being a good student out off the field. And when you're on the field, putting in that maximum effort and basically doing the things that they expect you to do. And that's called, to me, that's being accountable to what's expected. And if you're not doing those things, then there will be a problem. Now, as far as somebody with, when they bring race into it, that's on a different level, but I've never seen it. I've never faced it there inside the program of Iowa with Coach Ferentz, right? And that's why I noticed we all have different experiences. My biggest take was if you felt a certain way, then we have to communicate that. Because sometimes people say things because they think that they have a type of relationship with you, and they don't even know on the surface it might be a joke. So on the surface, right, it might be funny. But underneath the surface, that person can be feeling a certain way. But if it's never brought up or said or mentioned, then how does that person know that they just called you or they just disrespected you in a certain kind of way? And that's my whole thing, is that's why we have to have that communication. And that's why I'm happy that in these situations, like Coach Ferentz had admitted that, hey, I might have dropped the ball on some of those things. And there are things that implemented now that put in to the program where kids, whether you're black or white or anything like that, if you're feeling unheard, all right, and you're not comfortable with something that just happened to you, now you have other resources to go and see and talk. And that's the biggest thing, is like communication. I feel like maybe some things were said that was just taken, the individual didn't know that they were being, that it was taken that way. And so if there's no communication, then yeah, you're thinking everything's okay, and that's how you just go on. So it's easily, I can see if something was mentioned to somebody, how it could be taken a certain way, so to speak. Right.
Well, and I contribute as an outsider, I want to again preface this by saying that I'm a white male, and I can't completely relate. I can't relate at all. So I don't want to present myself like I'm understanding how someone else felt in a situation. But one thing that I remember in our discussion with Amari Spavey on this subject, and he brought up Coach Chris Doyle. And one thing that he had said about Coach Doyle was that Doyle perceived himself as a comedian, and he felt that he took things too far. Would that be accurate from your perspective, that Doyle tried to behave almost in a comedic fashion, and his humor, like you said, was maybe just a bit insensitive towards some?
Yeah, there's times where I've been around, but that's like Coach Doyle's thinking that he has that type of relationship with you, and where he can like talk a certain type of way or like joke around. And yeah, I mean, me, I have no problem with it, because I didn't see any like thing of like culturally or racial or anything like that. But I'm the type of person that if it was something done or said to me, and trust me, I've had plenty of conversations with Coach Doyle in times where he had to get on me because I wasn't putting forth the effort that was needed. You know, I was trying to get a kick in the butt there. Yeah. But maybe at times, like, he can probably, like, somebody, he's done something like that, and somebody probably took it the wrong way. But my whole thing is, if you take it the wrong way, then that's why you got to, like, talk. You need to say something to him so that he knows. Now, if you talk to him and it continued, then you got me. And then then I'm more of, like, siding with you. But and a lot of the situations and stuff, I don't think there was any communication. And I get it. These the players, they're young. I was a freshman before and stuff, where he's just like, as a freshman, I'm just trying to, like, get through, dude. Play football, get through, try to not cause any feathers and stuff like that. Or you're afraid to speak up, you know, because you're focused on, well, I want to play, and I don't want to do anything to, like, jeopardize that.
Right.
But.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying, like, those types of things that happen, I never experienced those things, and so I consider Coach Dole as a coach who coached hard, and
right.
I think you have to, like, if you're a strength coach, we're around you all the time, like, with other than any other coaches, like, we're around the strength coach the most in the program, and when you're watching 100 and some guys, you have to coach hard to keep people focused on the task at hand, like, whether to improve as a player, all right, and do and also do their part on and off the field. So, yeah, I mean, I get it, and it's what I'm saying. And I had no issues to how he coached whatsoever.
Now, and again, I don't want to bring up any specific names because I don't want to get into a he said, she said, and again, commenting on other people's experiences. But I want to get your take on this. And these, again, are our first person accounts of certain things that have been claimed to have happened with either Brian Ferentz, Coach Dole. Now, I know you were not. Was Brian Ferentz, did you play with Brian?
Yeah, I played with Brian.
Okay, so you know, and Clinton Solomon talked about Brian's personality, and we've experienced it over time that he's got a bit of a chip on his shoulder. I don't know if you kind of observed that as a, of course you were on the opposite side of the ball as him, but
yeah, we didn't get along with offensive linemen.
That's probably a good thing. So my question is. A couple different, again, I'm not going to connect names to these, but there were a few sort of disturbing experiences that were described. One was a certain player was instructed, and this was corroborated by a couple different people. A certain player was told to run around the field with a trash can on his head, and which he did, and that was corroborated by a couple different people. Would something like that, would you interpret that as racially insensitive, or is that just someone being a jerk?
That's just somebody being an a-hole.
Yeah.
If you ask me.
Now, what's the line there? Because you're, as an African-American male, you see that as someone being a jerk. Why would maybe, what do you think would influence another African-American male looking at that and seeing that as racially profiling or racially insensitive or even racist?
I don't know if you can probably take it as basically one. I'm guessing it was the African American who was being punished. So the kid was an African American, and then the coach being a white coach.
Right.
That's probably going to take it to the point where it's like now you're having a white guy telling a black kid to go out and look a fool in front of his peers of something he did. And I always condone that. I heard that that story, and my immediate response was it's not a response I can repeat on air. Is this like an accent where you can curse?
we can bleep you out if you do.
But no, I mean. That's just somebody being an a-hole. And I don't see if you see there's a lot of situations that happen, you know, where it's easy to put black right about race because you're dealing with a black player and a white coach.
Right.
And my thing is in a lot of these situations that has gone on, I'm looking, it's like, well, if I plug in a black coach and it's a black player, then what would you say? You would say, well, he's an a-hole, you know? And
yeah.
And that's where I stand. Like, there's some things where it's just like, yeah, I mean, that's kind of wrong. Like, the hair thing, I don't believe like you should tell somebody to cut their hair or anything like that. To be the face of a program, I don't think you should tell anybody to do that.
Now let me ask you this, and I'm not defending the coaching staff or whoever implemented that, whether that be Kirk or whatever. But is that a situation where you know Coach Ferentz says we're not having long hair, you're not going to have tattoos, you're going to wear polos in the facility? Is that a situation where maybe he's again as a white male, although you would think he'd be a little bit more familiar with how all of his African-American players would perceive that. But is that a situation where maybe he's looking at that and saying, we're going to be clean cut professional. And I don't feel, you know, my Midwestern roots don't feel that that's clean cut and professional, as opposed to trying to discriminate against somebody. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, see, I personally have never heard of Coach Ferentz making that a rule or requirement. I mean, I played with guys who had dreads, a lot of the Florida guys. I think me. Brad Banks and Marcus Pascal came in with a clean cut, and then he grew his hair out and had dreads.
Yeah,
I never heard any one of those guys. Bob Sanders had dreads.
Right.
Fred Barr had dreads. George Lewis had, like, nobody mentioned anything of somebody coming to them and saying something about their hair.
And Coach Ferentz talks the world about Bob Sanders. And he talked the world about Devontae Young last year, and he had dreads.
See, and that's to me, I would have to say, like, I would disagree unless you can prove, like, evidence of saying that that's an issue. But no one has ever, like, none of my former teammates has ever came up and said, like, yeah, Coach Ferentz didn't want me to have dreads or anything, or because I had dreads, I was treated a little differently. Nobody said that, especially from Coach Ferentz.
Right.
So I have to disagree with them.
There were two other things that were accounted, and I kind of want to get your take on this. So one experience was that one of the coaches, a player apparently had been wearing a face covering, and one of the coaches asked him if he was going to rob a bank. And there was another experience from a player that said that he'd come to practice in a BMW, and the coach was suspicious as to where he got this BMW. Is that stereotyping, and is that racially insensitive? Or, again, would you just – I mean, what's your outlook on those experiences?
The BMW, if that was the comment, that's kind of like stereotyping. You're basically saying, like, I can definitely see that. The ski mask, I mean – I would say, again, if the player was black or the coach was black, then what would you say?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So, like, it's just, like, because there's a white, because the coach is white, and that's why it's, like, it's easy to go into the race thing. Like,
right.
I've made that comment to a student before with the ski mask and say, what are you doing? I'm about to go rob a bank or something.
Yeah.
But
you're not going to get in trouble for that.
Yeah. I mean, and it's all in like joking. So what was the context of that? Did he know, like if you had an issue with it, I would like, I can't stress enough, like communication, like, cause he probably didn't see anything that he said wrong with that. And if it was addressed at that point, or maybe like later on, like, hey coach, like, you know, I really didn't appreciate the comment that you made. And like, what comment? Well, you just said, like, asking with my ski mask and acting like I was going to go rob, or ask me if I was going to go rob a bank or a liquor store or something. And then that opens the gates up to have a conversation, the discussion. Right. And then if it continued, then okay, then you might be dealing with a coach who is basically like refuses to like take your feelings into account, and then he might have some racial tendencies, so to speak.
Did you think, and I'm not saying that these were all in reference to Chris Doyle, but did you feel that Chris Doyle handled things appropriately on his way out in basically refuting any possibility that he had ever made a racist comment?
Yeah. If somebody is accusing you of something that you are flat out thinking that you're innocent of, then yeah, I will deny those accusations also.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, I just feel like just knowing who Coach Doyle was and the type of person that he was and the type of coach that he was, I can see how some of his actions or sayings can be taken the other way. And if you don't address it with him, then it's kind of hard, because then how can I expect him to know it? If he didn't know that he ticked me off with that comment, or if I felt like, hey, you're being a little, like, racial bias with that, what you just said. Like, if you don't know it, and then if I think that I'm still good, then yeah, I'm going to refute all of those things, because I believe it's not in me, and I don't believe that he's a racist or anything else like that. So I just believe he coaches hard, and a lot of times some environments aren't meant for other people people, you know, and it's sad but that's, you recognize that. And then if you don't see anything getting better, you just, all right, I'm packing my bags up and go, I guess.
So this story that was broken on, I believe, Sunday about this lawsuit. My problem with this lawsuit, just besides, you know, most people are looking at this and saying it's money grabbing, blah, blah, blah. But my issue with this lawsuit is you've got 8 former black players who are looking for basically $10 million to split between the 8 of them. And then the other $10 million go for a class action suit, which I guess would make you a part of that class action suit. If it's going to every African American, if I understood the language of that correctly, that would include every African American player who's played under Ferentz. Is that your understanding as well?
Yeah, no, that wasn't my understanding, but I wouldn't want any money of that anyway.
Well, that's kind of, well, and so, but here's my other issue, is in addition to the extreme amount of money that's behind this, and of course, there's a lot of other things that go into this, attorney costs, blah, 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 but when you look at the timing of this, I think it's pretty clear that these players targeted game week. And my problem with that is you're looking for, and again, I'm not condoning some of the things that were said or done. I was not there either. But to time this during game week after an off season full of tumult and problems and players opting in, opting out, having to make tough decisions, getting sick, having to stay involved, and then you throw this in game week. And I understand you're trying to target the coaches and trying to distract the coaches and distract people in the program, but you're also damaging, you're hurting every African-American athlete who's on this team. Am I right in saying that? To me, that just seems hypocritical towards the cause.
Yeah, I saw it a different way, but I mean, the timing of this, I've always said, I mean, this couldn't come out in June or July when the other things come out.
Yeah.
But I get it for, as a, I guess, a lawyer, so to speak, if you want to bring in more attention, what better time to come out when Big Ten has come late to the party with the season, and it's the first game of the season for Iowa, and it's going to draw more eyes and attention.
Isn't that go back to, though, that money grab idea, as opposed to we're filing this lawsuit to really evoke change amongst the program? Isn't that more of a money grab then, when you're timing it so that, look, we don't care who's in our way. If it's going to hurt the coaches, it's going to hurt the program, it's going to hurt the fans, it's going to hurt the African American players. We don't care, because we want to make Iowa look as bad as possible. Isn't that sort of a bad look for those 8 players?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I personally feel, I mean, if you just put it out as, hey, changes that needs to be made, you know, and you're giving ideas and stuff. But when you're always calling for somebody's jobs,
yeah.
And not to mention, I mean, you're kind of looking over some of the changes that were made, that Coach Ferentz made in order to continue the progress of making it comfortable for those people or those players who feel unheard or don't like feel like they don't have a voice. I think there are things put in place that addresses that. I think it was good that Coach Ferentz came out and said basically, hey, I dropped the ball. You know, I'm not perfect. And this is what we're going to do to make it better. And so those things are already in place. If you have more, let's say, ideas on how to expand on those, then yeah. I mean, but when you put in money, that's when you kind of lose. That's when the most important thing gets overlooked.
Right.
So, yeah.
One thing that you quote in your Facebook post from earlier, one thing you said was you were always impressed. You've always been impressed with how the coaches and the Iowa football staff treat former players when they're back in town.
Yeah.
I ask you that. I bring this up because there have been a couple examples of players from even during the Hayden Fry years. I know Ronnie Harmon has expressed on the radio that he doesn't feel comfortable in Iowa City. Plez Atkins has said the same thing. Of course, most people know the situation with Darrell Johnson-Koulianos. And I know there's more involved than just these guys are outside outcasts and these guys are not. But do you feel that that's pretty much universal with most players that they come back and they're open, they're welcomed with open arms again by Kirk and the staff?
So are they talking about the program or are they talking about the city?
Ronnie Harmon. Well, what Ronnie Harmon said was that he didn't feel comfortable at Iowa. He didn't feel comfortable coming back to Iowa. Now, I'm not trying to put that on Kirk Ferentz. We don't know if that's Kirk Ferentz, if that's where that falls, where that lies. But that has been something that's been brought up by certain people that's been somewhat alarming as to why Ronnie Harmon doesn't feel comfortable, why Plez Atkins doesn't feel comfortable. We know the background with Plez and with Darrell Johnson-Koulianos, but I just thought I'd ask you that, and if you have any insight into why those relationships may not be as strong as yours.
I mean, my only thing is, like, as it pertains to, like, the city, maybe something happened to him within the city and it just, like, puts an overview on maybe an experience and they just don't want to deal with it.
Right.
As far as, like, the coaching, like, all right, so Coach Ferentz, and I think it's Coach Ferentz and Coach Parker are the only two coaches that are there when I was in school. And okay. I have a real good relationship with Coach Parker. And so, but anytime if I need anything, and it's like I can give those guys a call and they'll do anything they can in their power to get what I'm asking for. And I've always felt comfortable and welcoming when I come in. That's just me. And then the other players, like, I mean, sometimes, like, you can come and you've never felt like part of something. Like, maybe there's a bridge broken and stuff. And I can see that being the case. But when it comes back to me, when I go back to on campus or in that building, the new building, yeah, I've always felt welcome. I could sit down and talk to those guys and catch up, and if I needed anything, and I truly believe, like, Coach Phil Parker would do anything to make it happen, and Coach Ferentz would do anything to make it happen. So, but yeah, I mean, that's just me. But again, that's my experience. Yep.
Is that a bad look? Do you think that's a bad look that some of the great three of the, well, at least two of the best players to ever play at Iowa,
in Darrell Johnson Koulianos and Ronnie Harmon, for them not to feel welcome. Again, I know there's other variables there, but is that a bad look for Iowa, regardless of the situation, that two of the legends, two of Iowa's legends, aren't really welcome here?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not them, so I will know about how they feel. You know, I'm not in a position to make that comment on the surface. You know, I would just say maybe something happened and you just don't feel comfortable. Right. But for me, I've always felt welcome. And
I've just got a couple more questions. We really appreciate you taking the time today, Ed. And I wanted to ask you this, and I think you made this abundantly clear in your post. Is there any conceivable way, in your opinion, that Kirk Ferentz has a racist bone in his body?
I would have to say no, you know, and definitely not intentional, you know. Yeah. I would have to say, like, just like any other coach, when you have these guys on, you have, I mean, they're all your kids, and like, they're all sons. And so, I mean, sometimes you have situations where it just doesn't work out, and maybe you have a kid leave. But for the most part, I've always felt like Coach Ferentz has had good intentions for all the players and things like that.
I can tell you my and again, I have such a minuscule take on this because of my lack of experience with Coach Ferentz. But my one real experience with Coach Ferentz actually kind of goes back to Gary Dolphin. I grew up wanting to do radio and journalism, which I've since moved on from radio. But before I even got into radio, I actually had an opportunity to spend some time with Gary Dolphin and Kirk Ferentz. And, you know, both of those guys over the past several years have been painted at one time or another as racist. And now, again, I'm a young white male, so I can't completely relate to someone else may perceive those guys. I could not think, though, from my experiences with both of those, Gary Dolphin and Kirk Ferentz, I personally could not imagine someone who was less racist than those two guys. I mean, I just can't imagine those two guys having a racist bone in their body. But again, I'm speaking from a perspective that probably shouldn't have an opinion on that. But
I'm the same way. I mean, I don't believe they have a racist bone in their body. I mean, I love Gary.
Yeah.
Like, that's my guy right there. You sure Ed Pollack wasn't with you too?
Ed was. I did, you know what? I actually. So that was. So years ago, yeah, I Gary had gave me the opportunity. Like I said, this was way, way back when I was in high school, and Gary gave me the opportunity to spend some time in the press box with him and Ed, and Kevin Dole. I think it was Kevin up there in the press box, yeah, with them, and then he also had me come over for their Hawk Talk with Kirk, and just all unprompted. This was something that I reached out to him and expressed my admiration for what he did, as a Hawkeye fan and an aspiring radio guy. And I just thought that whole experience touched me. And again, Kirk couldn't have been nicer to me in the short period of time that I talked to him. So he made me feel important, as did Gary. But it is good to hear that from someone who, again, knows Kirk on a much more personal level like you do. How do you think we move forward? I mean, this is a tough situation. Again, timing wise with the season, I know this is one season, is such a blip on the radar as far as how this program moves forward in the grand scheme of things. But I don't think any Iowa fans want to see Kirk Ferentz go out and retire with this sort of a mark on his legacy. And whether it's rightful or not, it is going to be a bit of a mark on his legacy. So how does he and how does this program move forward despite this lawsuit, which could very well stretch on for many, many months?
Yeah. Well, I say day by day. I mean, it's not going to be like, people have to get it out of their heads like it's going to just like go back to normal right away, like tomorrow and stuff. It's by action, you know. It's going to be a slow movement, but slow progress, and we just got to like you know, hold ourselves together or hold ourselves accountable, support one another. And as long as that's happening on the team and out off the field, on the field and off the field, I think that's how we're going to move past this. And yeah, I don't want this to be the last thing to send Coach Ferentz out. I think he deserves a farewell, better farewell last year, last season type deal. And I don't want to see him go out. I don't want to see him go out like this with this hanging over. So, but I think the way we move past this is just like take it day by day, continue to make those improvements, support one another, and sooner or later, we'll move past.
You got any thoughts on the season ahead? The Iowa season ahead?
You know what? I just hope we win. It's like, I just hope like we come out and we play hard and compete. You know, it's like, it'll be something like this where we have like a really, really good season because like there's a lot of unknowns, especially at the quarterback position and stuff. And so these are the types of seasons where it's like, hey, I'm not surprised that Iowa is in the championship.
Right.
So.
Jack Campbell's out tomorrow. And of course, they lost a lot of linebacker. How do the young guys step up?
Hey, next man up. That's that mentality. That's the motto of Hawks, right? Next man up. And, absolutely. You know, just like tell them to get in, just make sure you're getting in the film, you're voicing, communication. Because as linebackers, I like to think of linebackers as being the quarterback of the defense. I'm pretty sure Coach Phil Parker would agree with that. And Norm Parker, rest his soul. But, just communicate, get those guys lined up right, and go out and play hard. And that's how you make a difference. That's how you make an impact.
I will say this, including Amari Spivey, everybody I've talked to has said so many good things to say about Norm and Phil Parker. So at least that's a positive thing to, and you said the same. So, well, Ed, we really appreciate you taking the time. I appreciate you talking during the middle of your week, and I know it's game day for you guys too. So best of wishes at Waukee, and hopefully maybe we'll get a chance to talk to you down the road. Maybe this thing will be blown over and we can talk some football.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, bud.
All right, Ed, you guys have a great day. Thank you so much.
You too. Bye.
We want to thank Ed Miles for coming on the show. I know tough circumstances, and it can't be easy to discuss such a sensitive topic and something that we know has hit him close to home. Kirk Ferentz, obviously a guy he respects greatly, and it sounds like he respects basically everybody within this program, even some that are not in this program anymore, Chris Doyle specifically. So, again, thanks so much to Ed for joining us. And Hawkeye football's upon us. Iowa has got some work to do. They've got Northwestern coming to Kinnick with no fans, of course. And, of course, some problems have popped up already at Wisconsin. We'll talk all about the situation in Wisconsin as well as a preview of the Big Ten week upon us during week 133 of Brada's Branded Thoughts, which will come out later on this evening. Stay tuned to StoryCounty.news and our From the Hawkeye of the Storm platform for everything you need to know about the game this week and the Big Ten season as it continues despite COVID-19. Again, thanks to Ed Miles. I'm Corey Brada signing off. We'll talk to you soon here on Brada's Brand of Thoughts. Thanks for listening, and go Hawks.